I'm Marty Moscoane. Welcome to Radio Times. Philadelphia teachers had to deal with the impacts of a budget crisis this past year that meant more students in their classrooms, fewer, and in some cases, no aides, nurses, or counselors. It wasn't unusual to hear about teachers digging into their pockets to pay for supplies for their classes because schools had no money. At the same time, teachers have been working for almost a year without a contract. The School Reform Commission and the school district want to cut teachers' salaries, have them contribute to the cost of their benefits, and change work rules, including seniority, to reduce yet another deficit facing the district. We had the head of the School Reform Commission, Bill Green, and school superintendent William Height on the show recently. Today, it's Jerry Jordan's turn. He's president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. He attended the Philadelphia Public Schools, taught in the Philadelphia Public Schools. And Jerry Jordan, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Nice to have you here. And to our listeners, and I'm sure we're going to hear from a lot of people, let me give everything to you right at the top of the show. The phone number, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Jerry, let me read what Governor Corbett said when he signed the state budget, the $29.1 billion budget. He said, "We need to have the public sector teacher union in Philadelphia step up and make concessions. I find it unfathomable that 498 school districts in Pennsylvania teachers contribute to their health care. Two other school districts, primarily Philadelphia, do not contribute to their health care." That's what he was referring to. Why not?
It's because the governor probably was not told by his staff that last August of 2013, I held a press conference, and I announced at that press conference, while we were in negotiations and we had not, the contract had not yet reached the end of which the date was August 31st, that the members of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers would not ask for a salary increase because of the school district's financial situation at the time, and also that we would make concessions that would save the district many, many dollars, millions of dollars in health care. And on August 31st, during our negotiation session, because we wanted to really settle the contract, we offered the district those kinds of concessions, and we still haven't settled because the district left the money on the table.
And I don't want to negotiate the contract on the air, but nonetheless, what kind of concessions are you talking about?
We are talking about salary increases, as well as benefits changes. What we are not talking about, and the district often talks about other concessions, and in your statement you mentioned it, that work rules. The work rule changes that the district is asking for are things such as not requiring one counselor in every school in the city. We think that asking for and requiring at least one counselor in every school is good for children. The district wants to remove language that addresses the need for nurses in our schools. We believe that we need to have nurses in schools. We have in the city of Philadelphia and in other urban districts across the country, a large number of children, and the population is increasing, according to the research, that we have a large number of children who have asthma. We have a large number of children who have diabetes and require daily attention by a nurse. And so those kinds of services, we believe, are educationally sound for the children. We have in this city 14 librarians, 14 certified school librarians for 220 schools. There's something wrong when we don't have sufficient librarians in order to staff our buildings.
And I want to get back to all of that, and all that obviously important. But are you saying that, the union is willing to consider some kind of concessions having to do with benefits, meaning that the teachers might be willing to pay for some of their health benefits, which I think cost the district about $200 million? Are you saying that?
We are willing to make accommodations that will save the school district millions of dollars. Yes.
Yes. And those accommodations would include paying for some of the health care benefits?
I would have to get that approved by my members, but we are certainly looking at that as one of the savings.
Because that's something that the district and the governor says that they want. They want some concessions from the teachers' union related to some of these benefits, and you're saying that's not off the table.
No, it's not.
And how about salaries? And I realize salaries is a tough point, and as I said in my introduction, we know of teachers who have, you know, used their own money to help make sure that their children have textbooks and supplies and things like that. Are salaries also on the table?
Salaries, we, as I said earlier, we publicly stated that we would forgo a salary increase because of the district's financial problem. And, you know, so therefore we've gone, last year was another year that teachers and other members represented by the PFT, support staff, classroom assistants, and others, have gone without a raise. And also the district, the School Reform Commission voted prior to the end of the school year last year to freeze any kind of salary increase that a teacher would get for an advanced degree. So a teacher getting a master's degree in the past would get a small salary increase because of earning the degree. And, of course, we all know that teachers have spent thousands of dollars in order to earn that degree, and that the district froze that movement. So therefore, teachers who earned a master's or another degree after the end of June of 2013 did not get an increase, and the SRC also voted to freeze the incremental increases that teachers get for longevity. And so as a result of that, that really saved the district about $17 million last year.
The School Reform Commission and even Bill Green believes that he has something called the nuclear option. And because of the state takeover of the district in Philadelphia, that was about 13 years ago, the SRC believes they have the authority to essentially force a contract on the PFT, on the teachers here in Philadelphia. Do you think they have that right?
I don't think that they have that right. And the School Reform Commission and the superintendent filed pleadings before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court in March, I do believe. And they asked the court whether or not they would be able to have that right. And they specifically cited the right to be able to be relieved of having to have a counselor in every school, and to be relieved of having nurses and librarians and other kinds of issues that they believed that they would be able to save money if they did not offer the children in Philadelphia schools the services of those individuals. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a ruling that they would not hear that case.
So if the SRC were to force something on the district, on the PFT, would the PFT then go to back to the courts to get some kind of ruling on this?
Well, what we have done, because the SRC has indeed failed to put counselors and nurses and other services in schools, and we have filed a grievance against each of the violations, and we are moving forward to arbitration in order to have the case resolved, those cases resolved through the grievance and arbitration procedure that is outlined in our contract.
Earlier this year, the 500 members of the Commonwealth Association of School Administrators, these are principals, agreed to a contract. It included cuts to salaries, pretty serious cuts to salaries. They began their contributions to their health benefits. And the union president said, there's not a cavalry coming with a new fiscal year on our doorstep. We need to do something to help right the district. We ratified a contract, but we're not celebrating. Does that in any way put pressure on you and the PFT?
No, it doesn't. The PFT 3 years ago faced with the district a severe financial problem, and at that time we made concessions of $30 million in order to help the district get through the problem. But what we also have is that when the School Reform Commission was formed under Act 46, the SRC was put in place because at that time the district was said to be academically and physically and fiscally distressed. And we have had some of the largest deficits under the SRC that I've seen during my career. And, you know, we believe that the principals and the principals union, they made decisions that they believe were best for their members. And we are going to do the same thing for our members, and we're not going to be influenced by what another union has done. But, you know, we do acknowledge that there is a financial problem, but we certainly cannot be and should not be expected to bear the responsibility of correcting it, because we are not the ones who are able to determine how the money is spent.
We're almost up on a break here, but if there were more layoffs, and there's talk, depending on what happens with the cigarette tax, there's talk that there might be more layoffs in August, would that be some kind of pressure for the PFT to reconsider some of these concessions if that meant holding on to more teachers?
We are very, very concerned about the layoffs. We just had a layoff of non-instructional support personnel a week ago.
Special ed, right?
And, yeah, that's exactly right. And all of those services that are being removed from the schools and from the classrooms have a tremendous negative impact on students and student outcomes. And so all of those layoffs are very, very alarming for us. And the talk of having additional layoffs, and I think the number that the superintendents mentioned has been as high as 1,300, it will be virtually unsafe to be in buildings with that many adults removed from schools.
That's Jerry Jordan, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. He is president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. We are talking about the challenges facing the district, facing the teachers, facing the union. Things are pretty complicated and in many ways very difficult here in Philadelphia. We'll take a very short break, get back to our conversation, and again, opening up the lines at 1-888-477-9499. We'd like to hear from teachers and parents and others concerned about education here in Philadelphia. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, the Rutgers School of Business at Camden encourages current and future accounting professionals to earn an advanced graduate degree in accounting while preparing for the CPA exam and certification. The Rutgers Professional Master of Accounting program is a 16-month accelerated program that meets on Saturday, starting this August in the Princeton area. Information session on Thursday, July 17th at 6:30 p.m. at Mercer County Community College. pmac.rutgers.edu or 856-225-2700.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Miscarriages happen all the time, but for many people, they're still considered a taboo topic.
People don't talk about it when they have miscarriages, and you feel alone. You're going through this grieving, and you feel like you're the only one that's going through it.
We'll continue our look at miscarriages next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
The Dell Music Center supports WHYY and presents Roberta Flack, Peabo Bryson, New Birth, and Bloodstone at the newly renovated Dell Music Center in Fairmount Park. Four legendary acts at the Dell, Thursday, July 24th at 8 p.m. On-site parking is also available. Information at 215-685-9560 or online at mydelleast.com. The Dell Music Center, where the stars take center stage.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with Jerry Jordan. He's president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, and it's been a tough year for teachers working for the school district, coping with the aftermath of layoffs and the prospect of possible layoffs in the future, and certainly some serious issues on the table for discussion. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Jerry, we have a tweet from Daniel. He says, importantly, Philadelphia teachers are paid less on average than suburban counterparts and work in much more difficult scenarios. That's his quote from Daniel. Agreed?
I agree 100% with Daniel. Philadelphia teachers are paid substantially less than the teachers in the surrounding counties of Philadelphia.
There was an article recently, in fact, it was Kristen Graham in the Philadelphia Inquirer, has received a Pulitzer Prize for her coverage of education. She profiled the teacher who had worked for the Philadelphia School District for 7 years. She started, I'm quoting her, out starry-eyed, certain she would work in Philadelphia classrooms for decades, but things deteriorated every year. She said she lacked basic supplies, was ordered to teach in an area where she had no certification or training, and feared for her safety. Her quote, my students weren't able to make progress this year. I did them an injustice. The school district did them an injustice. They did not get the education they should have. I know you wrote a piece or a response to that in, I guess, the Daily News today.
The Philadelphia Inquirer.
Inquirer.
Yes, I did. And unfortunately, Maria's story is one that far too many educators in the Philadelphia School District can tell. And it's something that we have to make sure that it just stops. It's unacceptable. And Maria is one of those teachers who, you know, I like to talk about teachers who are going to be lifers. They're going to be in education for their careers. And the district has forced a fine young teacher out of the system, and she's changing careers. She's going to become a nurse. She's going to, again, you know, work in a profession of helping people. But that, you know, we have all of our teachers will tell you that they spend hundreds and in some cases thousands of dollars each year because of the district's fiscal problems. They need to buy supplies. Can you imagine what it's like when, you know, if you or I walked into our jobs and we had to buy paper in order to, you know, do our jobs? And think of a first grade teacher who the little babies are not able to copy information in large amounts from the board. They're learning to write in many cases. And so the teacher needs that paper in order to prepare material for children to take home for their homework and other things. You know, you make a teacher happy, walk in and give that teacher a ream of paper today, and you'll see a smile on that teacher's face. You know, the removal of the number of individuals who work in schools, the adults, and I mentioned a few minutes ago about the layoff a week ago of non-instructional support personnel. When you don't have those individuals in hallways and in classrooms and other places helping to support the school and the school climate, it creates an unsafe environment. So, you know, laying those individuals off is only going to perpetuate what Maria wrote about what she talked about when she was interviewed by Kristen. And the teachers who are forced to teach material that they are not comfortable with, that they haven't been trained in, that is just wrong. It's bad for the children and it's bad for the teacher. It's just not good. And those kinds of things, unfortunately, are happening too frequently in the school district of Philadelphia, and it's something that we are fighting.
The School Reform Commission has essentially been running the district for about 13 years now, representing the state takeover of the district. Do you think an elected school board, and there are some that are calling for the return of an elected school board in Philadelphia, would that make things better?
I think that a school board, and we've never had an elected school board to my knowledge. We had an appointed board appointed by the mayor.
But a school board of some sort in Philadelphia, do you think that would make a difference?
I would like to think that it could make a difference. Certainly, having had the SRC has only met deficits, more deficits, and more deficits, and even bigger deficits. So I certainly am one who would support having a school board.
And in terms of deficits, I mean, part dealing with the state, the recession, how the money comes in from the state. Do you hold the School Reform Commission responsible for basically all the problems in Philadelphia?
No, not all the problems.
This is a statewide required monthly test of the emergency alert system, originating from the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, Harrisburg. This is only a test.
On the table, what is your argument in support of seniority? Why is that important to teachers and to the district?
There has to be an objective way that something that is objective that is used in making decisions. And something as painful as a layoff should be done using objective criteria. And seniority is that way of doing it. You know, nobody wants to be laid off. But if someone's going to be laid off, there needs to be a way that people know is fair and is understood. When you have subjective criteria as to the decision is being made by the principal, then, you know, based on what? I mean, I saw something in writing regarding the elimination of a position that a principal wrote, "I would like to keep this teacher because she's a good teacher." Well, duh. That's what we want. We want good teachers, and it should not just be that one teacher in the building. All of the teachers, you know, should be great teachers and should all be needed. But you only get into this problem with layoffs and seniority when we are dealing with deficits, because if there's enough money, then you're not going to have that kind of an issue.
But there's no guarantee that a senior teacher is a good teacher. I mean, just because someone has taught for 20 years, does that mean that they're a better teacher than someone that has taught for 2 years? I mean, yes, they have more experience under their belt, but does putting in all those years actually make someone a better teacher and therefore someone that should hold on to their job when there are layoffs?
Well, I think this is a complicated issue.
It is.
But that usually, I mean, when we think of other professions, let's talk about medicine. Yeah, would you prefer going to a first-year doctor, or would you prefer going to a doctor who has 20 years of experience if you're going to have surgery? You know, when a teacher is not doing his or her job, we advocate giving that teacher help. Mm-hmm. And if that teacher does not improve, then that teacher does not deserve to be in the profession, and that teacher needs to be counseled out. And that happens every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Someone is counseled out?
Yes. We have a number of teachers who many times they resign because of being counseled out. They know that the profession's not for them. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the nation about tenure. And some people have the misperception that you know, tenure means you have a job for life. That is not the case. Teachers who are not doing their jobs are terminated. they are terminated, and it is not a long process.
So, I mean, are you saying then that every teacher working in Philadelphia is a good teacher? An effective teacher?
Well, I would not go as far as to say that, because when you have a large number of any category, whether it's, you know, every teacher, every doctor, you know, every police officer, whatever the job classification is, but I will certainly sit here and tell you that we have the vast majority of our teachers are great teachers, and they do a Herculean job every day and care very much for the children that they teach.
And the teachers that aren't effective or just perhaps are in the wrong profession, the PFT, others, teachers sort of help them, ease them out the door? Is that what you're saying as well?
Well, that happens, yes, but that because no teacher wants to work in a building or next door to a teacher who's not doing their job, and they let people know that they are unhappy. But, you know, I guess about 5 years ago, the union was able to negotiate with the school district a program that dealt with and deals with teacher assessment, and it's the Peer Assistance and Review Program. And we now have been very successful with the program in that all new teachers for the first year of teaching in Philadelphia are helped to become great by some of the finest teachers in the school district of Philadelphia. They're called consulting teachers, and they work with those teachers for the full year. And at the end of the year, the principal of that school and the consulting teacher make a recommendation to the superintendent as to whether or not those teachers should remain in the school district. And for teachers in the system who were evaluated as being unsatisfactory by their principals the preceding year, they are in the Peer Assistance and Review Program for a year as well. And they are assisted by teachers who are a part of the PFT. And the same recommendation takes place. The principal and the consulting teacher says, Jerry's improved and Jerry should be able to remain in the district. So we are really very interested in making sure that we have good teachers in front of every classroom.
And that's Jerry Jordan, president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Give us a call to join the conversation. Particularly interested in hearing from teachers and from parents and maybe some students as well. Let me get Jack from Flemington, New Jersey to join us. Jack, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, terrific. I'm actually an educational support professional in a suburban district in New Jersey. I heard the other day on your program or on the news that they're planning to lay off aides in the district. And the man that was making the announcement, the spokesman, said, well, they're going to be able to find efficiencies and the district would be much better served after removing the number of aides that they had. And I can't tell you how I disagree with that.
Well, you know what, Jack, and I'm looking at the article here, and they were laid off, 157 special education classroom assistants and one-to-one aides last week in a move that officials say won't negatively affect children. This is from the Philadelphia Notebook, and that's something that I think you were referring to, Jerry.
Exactly.
And let me give Jerry Jordan a chance to respond to your comment, Jack.
Jack, I agree with you that, to say that there will be more efficiencies. The district is so underfunded and understaffed now, to lay off those individuals will mean that if you have a one-to-one assistant supporting a student, suddenly that student, they're saying, does not need that help. I find that very, very difficult to believe that the student's individual education plan has been changed to reflect that. And, we're losing too many adults. And when you have too many schools under-resourced with adults, The kinds of things that we talked about with the teacher who resigned at the end of June that Kristen Graham wrote about, that's what happens in schools. Mm-hmm. We saw it, we unfortunately read a lot about Bartram High School. And Bartram High School was a school that was under-resourced, and the children were roaming the halls, and they were not doing what they should do, and they weren't where they should be in their classrooms because of that, and so therefore this is going to be very, very detrimental for our schools. I agree with you 100%, Jack.
Jack, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Bartram has a new principal, as I understand.
Yes.
Ready to start for the next year. Let me get John from Jenkintown. John, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Jerry. I'm a teacher.
Good morning.
15 years in the district. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm going to ask a question, which I don't mean to be too indelicate with, but after my 15 years of teaching in the Philadelphia School District, and I had a lot of problems the previous year in terms of assignments, I'm in a grievance thing, I would like to know whether you think that given the levels of mismanagement, problems which involve laying off not just teachers but support staff, the district ignoring parents and parents' associations for so very long, it would be constructive to request a federal-level, totally independent investigation of the district and its management and financial policies. I'll hang up for your response.
Okay, John, thanks for the call to Radio Times. The idea of a federal investigation into the district and how it manages its schools. Do you agree with something like that?
Well,
do you think we're at that place?
I am just trying to figure out how it would be done and how quickly it could be done, because, if it's a federal level investigation, I am assuming that it would have to be conducted from by the Department of Education. Arne Duncan is the Secretary of Education, and I don't know, whether or not that would be the fastest course of action in order to rectify the problems, because the responsibility of education rests with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And not being a lawyer, I just don't know whether, even if the federal government decided that there were some issues, whether or not they would be limited only to the federal funding that is spent here in Philadelphia, which happens to be probably somewhere in the area of about 10% of the school district's budget. The vast majority of the budget comes from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the city of Philadelphia. So, I mean, it's a very interesting issue that he raises, but I just would need to have more time to think through whether or not, that would be the best course of action.
John, thanks for the call to Radio Times. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Again, talking about some of the challenges facing the district, the school district here in Philadelphia. Jerry Jordan, our guest, president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. I should add that we had the head of the School Reform Commission and the school superintendent as guests on the show just a couple of weeks ago, so part of an ongoing conversation about some of these challenges. We are taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Again, you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at @WHYYRadioTimes. What do you think should be done to deal with the problems here in the district? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Bad energy habits around the office can affect your bottom line. PICO Smart Ideas for your business can help with customized tips, information, and programs designed to save you energy and money. Learn more at PICO.com/smart ideas. PICO supports WHYY.
The new book, Trans Bodies, Trans Selves, is a resource manual for the transgender community inspired by the feminist health manual, Our Bodies, Ourselves. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the editor, and two of the contributors talk about their experiences transitioning to the gender they identified with. Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
an old-timer on some burning issues for the American West.
I liken it to a 500-pound gorilla. Once that fire takes over to a certain extent, it can go anywhere it wants.
Long traditions with new urgency, firefighting in the American wilderness, next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Support for WHYY comes from the new Wells Fargo Propel World American Express card, designed to bring the world within reach for Wells Fargo customers. Details at a local Philadelphia area branch or wellsfargo.com/propel. Wells Fargo, the world is open. Keep exploring.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Mosco. And just a quick recap here. The School Reform Commission and the school district here in Philadelphia want to cut teachers' salaries, have them contribute to the cost of their benefits, and change work rules, including seniority, to reduce what looks like yet another deficit facing the school district here in Philadelphia. Talking with Jerry Jordan about this, president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. Phones have exploded at 1-888-477-9499. Jerry, Superintendent Height is quoted as saying that one of the reasons the district wants changes in the work rules is to allow the district to compete better or in a more effective way with charter schools, giving them more ways to compete with charter schools. Does that make any sense to you? Is that something that is appealing to you in any way for changing the work rules?
It doesn't make sense to me. It does not at all. I don't understand what the superintendent means by that.
So in terms of work rules, whether it's seniority or prep time and other issues that you have talked about, that is sacrosanct. You're not going to budge. The PFT is not going to budge on any of those work rules.
When it comes to, as I said earlier, work rules of eliminating counselors from schools, nurses, librarians, no, we're not going to budge on those.
But it sounds like you're saying perhaps salaries, perhaps benefits.
No, I don't want to give that impression at all. As one of the callers mentioned earlier, that our salaries are much lower than the surrounding districts, and foregoing salary increases, which we have for the last couple years, that, and with the amount of money that teachers and other members are spending out of their pockets, I think it's unreasonable and unrealistic to expect that teachers would be willing to forego or to take a salary cut. You know, gas is going up every week, it seems, and the price of food and produce in particular is skyrocketing. You know, our members have families. They have mortgages. They have car payments. And it's very, very, very difficult to ask them to continue to stretch their dollars. They can only stretch them so far. And to take a pay cut, you know, just is just not the right solution.
I do want to get back to our callers. I'm curious, when was the last time you were in Harrisburg and the argument that you just made, is that the argument that you have made or will be making in Harrisburg?
I was in Harrisburg during the budget cycle near the end of June, just before the budget was voted upon. Mm-hmm. And I was there urging the members of the House and the Senate to vote to support the cigarette tax, which, you know, slated to bring the school district about $45 million this year. However, you know, I don't want anyone to think that if the district got the $45 million, that would close the gap. It would not. And also, because there's about a $93 or $96 million deficit.
Right.
So that's not, you know, not even half of what's needed. And you know, if the entire $93 million or $96 were found, it still would only mean that we would open schools the way that we opened schools last September without counselors in every school.
But the argument is to find that extra money, we have to turn to the teachers, to the PFD for some givebacks.
We cannot be a sustainable funding formula for the district. We just are not. The Constitution of the state says that it is the state's responsibility to make sure that there is a thorough and efficient system of public education.
Let me get Elizabeth from Drexel Hill to join our conversation. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard Diane Ravitch speak this spring, and she was talking about the teachers' union in Philadelphia. And she suggested that one way parents can support teachers and the teachers' union is to actually get together and sue the district. And I'm wondering what Jerry's opinion is on that, and also if it's a viable option considering the financial struggle that many families are facing in Philadelphia.
The second call talking about somebody suing the district. What do you think about that, Jerry Jordan?
I think it's a very good idea because what we do know is that with what the district is proposing and with the conditions that the district is thinking about opening schools, that too many children are being denied the kind of education that they deserve. Our schools are not schools that children deserve if we open up schools without the kinds of services that the district is talking about, and without the proper funding. And, you know, if we have to face on top of the 342 non-instructional support layoffs, an additional 1,300 layoffs, it's not going to be a school. It's going to be warehousing children, and I think that it will probably be an appropriate course of action.
But where do you find the money? Harrisburg has made it very clear that they may or may not, well, I guess they haven't made it clear what they're going to do about a cigarette tax, but that's one form of revenue for the district. The city council looks like they feel like they have done their part. Where else do you get the money? Are there other sources?
I think that the state has the responsibility of instituting a sustainable funding formula, not just for Philadelphia schools, but for all school districts in the Commonwealth. I mean, there's not a budget cycle that goes by that I don't pick up the paper and read about the Upper Darby School District's music program and arts program being cut because of financial problems, and other surrounding districts are facing similar problems. There are districts that have a much stronger tax base, and so the homeowners are paying additional taxes. This year with AVI, my taxes on my home went up 50%.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, the city has done a lot for the last 3 years in supporting Philadelphia schools, but we had a state funding formula during the Rendell years, as when the Governor Rendell was in Harrisburg, and the system began getting additional money in order to support children who are English language learners, children who have special needs. There was money, about $115 million for charter school reimbursements, because there are costs associated with charter schools in districts. And that money has been eliminated. And that funding formula was eliminated. And I, you know, believe that we really need to go back to a funding formula so that it's not just Philadelphia schools, but school districts and children across the Commonwealth who will reap the benefits.
Let me get to Dave from Branchburg, New Jersey. Dave, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. I had quick comment and quick question.
Sure.
Quick comment. I wanted to echo what he said earlier about teachers who don't have what it takes to stay in the profession who eventually leave. I am one of those people. I worked in a public school for about 5 months and had incredible support from not just my union, my administrators even as well. And even with all that support, I realized I could not hack it in this job, and I removed myself, which is what I think a lot of responsible people will do, either within the year or by the end of the year. People realize that they're not cut out for the job.
Sure.
My quick question, I was wondering if these problems facing the Philly public schools crossed across socioeconomic lines or whether they were scattered towards one end, and I will take my answer off the end.
Dave, I don't know what you mean by that, across socioeconomic lines. We're talking about the Philadelphia school district, the whole district, the whole city.
I mean, as in the rich schools versus the poor schools versus the middle schools.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, what I've heard from some of the schools that have more well-heeled parents is that they have, Jerry, some more wherewithal to raise money to help some of these schools out. But is there a socioeconomic class, economic divide here, do you think?
Well, there is. You just described it. Because in many of our neighborhoods, the families are living in poverty. I think about 24% of the city population lives in poverty. And those parents just do not have the wherewithal to be able to raise extra money in order to support the school, nor should they have to. They should not have to. That is the responsibility of the state to make sure that enough resources are in every school to support every child. But, I certainly understand and can appreciate the parents whose children attend a school and they decide that they want to raise money for something mm-hmm. that they want for their children. But when it comes to the very basic things that are needed for education, you know, whether it's a music teacher or an art teacher, the parents should not have to raise money for that. That should be given, and every school and every student should have the same kinds of opportunities for their education.
Dave, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let me see what Roger has to say. Roger, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm a retired teacher. I worked some of my years in Philly. And first I wanted to mention what Jerry said about how much money teachers spend of their own. People really have no idea. It's a lot. Okay? And the second thing I wanted to mention is the curriculum as far as the book publishers. The book publishers seem to drive the curriculum. And I taught mostly, I did teach elementary school in Philly. And every couple of years, they're changing the books. And the books aren't always the greatest, you know. When you do find a good one, they take it away. Or if you see a good one at another school, they're not always getting to all the schools.
Okay.
And I think a lot of money can be saved by letting the teachers who know how to drive the curriculum, instead of letting the book publishers do it. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, you're done. Thank you, Roger. Thanks for the call to Radio Times. Jerry, anything you want to add to that?
Yes, I think that Robert made a really, really great point that publishers are people who are making enormous amounts of money, as well as the insanity of the toxic testing that's taking place in our schools and has been ever since No Child Left Behind became law, that, it's just an enormous amount of money that is taken out of our school districts across this country in order to, teach to the test. Teachers are constantly teaching to the test, and principals are under the stress of making sure that, scores are constantly going up. And it's just amazing to me that, as hard as teachers and principals and other educators work in schools and across this country, that in the public schools, we're doing that, yet in private schools where people are spending thousands of dollars to educate their children, they are not testing with the testing insanity that we have in our schools. It doesn't make sense. So when you look at the line item that is spent on testing materials, on curriculum, and the books, that there is something wrong with that. And it's something that really, really is a place where I believe millions and millions of dollars can be saved.
We only have a couple of minutes here. Can you make a case, though, to parents listening to the show? They're thinking about, where should I send my child to school? They live in Philadelphia. Can you make a case? Yes, send your child to a Philadelphia public school? With all that we have talked about during this hour?
Yes, I absolutely can. I can because I believe in the Philadelphia Public Schools. I'm a product of the Philadelphia Public Schools, and that is why I am an advocate for the Philadelphia Public Schools and for all of the things that their children are going to need in the schools, the things that their kids deserve. And I am not by myself. There are thousands of people who feel the same way. Many of them are the classroom teachers who stand in front of children every day and make a difference in the lives of the children. And, you know, we as the adults have to be the ones to advocate for what our children need and to be on the front line to make sure that they get it. We, you know, we care about their children, and we want their children in our schools.
You were telling me, though, that you attended Philadelphia, West Philadelphia High School, a graduate, a proud graduate, I should say.
Yes, I am.
But when you were there, there were AP classes, there were after-school programs, there were all sorts of extracurricular activities. The concern is, you know, do those programs exist for today's children?
Not right now, but we have to, and you know, as I just said, we have to make sure that they do, because we cannot be silent and expect that they're going to appear. What I believe is that parents and teachers working together will be the ones who will make a difference with what happens in our schools and in our school system. And we believe, and we share the same belief in the kids. Mm. We want the best for them.
Well, and I mean, hopefully everyone wants the best for the children. And the question is, we almost have no time left. So what is your next move? What is the next move for the PFT? And by that, I mean with all that's going on.
Our next move is to hopefully continue negotiating a contract and to prepare for the opening of schools.
Well, on that note, Jerry Jordan, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I enjoyed being here.
We're happy to have you here. And again, Jerry Jordan, president of the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers. And I guess it sounds like we're doing a series on Philadelphia schools and education. We spoke earlier with the School Reform Commission Chair Bill Green, and also with William Hite, who's the superintendent of the school district here in Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, but don't go away. We'll be right back. And do